Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Zach Randolph came in, had a free basketball camp, a week-long free basketball camp, mm-hmm. right? He gave out backpacks full of school supplies to the kids and had like 30 barbers up there and cut every kid in the neighborhood who showed up the day weekend before school started.
That's what's
every
up.
Kid that showed up in the neighborhood, he gave them a free, they got a free haircut from professional barbers, right?
Yeah.
I remember Zach did that, right? Absolutely free. Like kids in the hood, absolutely free. But the thing is, I said, well, why don't y'all think like that? This was 30-year-old Zach Randolph that came and did
very
this.
Very
right?
true. Very true. I'm more mature.
And this is John Morant, like, dude, I'm 23. I made way more money this year than Zach probably made right. in his career.
I can breathe yeah, and the money like, comes back
right,
to me.
Right, exactly. So I don't expect him to think that way, especially on that type
that's
of level.
Fair.
And I saw Zach, like, you know, do Thanksgiving baskets full of food, like a whole Thanksgiving dinner, basically, for you to take home and cook for 100 families in the hood.
BTW and all.
I've seen Zach do that numerous times. Like I said, we're talking about 30, 31-year-old Zach Randolph.
It's true.
Compared to
a guy that had turned the page.
Fresh off being a kid. You know what I mean? Fresh off of playing in his backyard with barbecue and jumping over tires. And he was doing that like 4 years ago. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah, so it's just something to think about him. For
they're,
sure.
they're at a different point in their lives and careers.
And Zach had a wife.
He did have a wife.
Yeah.
You going to watch the 3-on-3 WNBA,
man,
folks? I think this is a great idea by Breonna Stewart and the other folks that are putting this together.
Bro,
no? I will actually watch this, I feel like.
Three words, man. Boss, MF, and move, for sure.
Yes.
For those ladies, man.
Agreed.
I talked about that on my show as well. You can check that out on podcast anytime today. I think it's an incredible move by those ladies because they're taking advantage of their own hype that they've created for themselves.
Man, so true.
I think that I'm going to say something that's may sound crazy, but I may be interpreting this wrong. I might be putting this out wrong, but those ladies are bigger than the WNBA, bro. The players in the WNBA, at this point, the WNBA players, like the top 30, 40 players in the league, they're bigger than that league, man.
And they're wielding their power right now.
And they're doing something that...
I like the way you're putting it.
And they're doing something that the NBA should have did a long time ago for the WNBA. Instead of making them look like a summer league, where these ladies are just got out of college, and now you're going out and playing in your season, mm-hmm. like some type of summer league. That's how the summer league works. You get out of college and go play in the summer league, and you know, and they even kind of make a media spectacle of it, like the summer league is in Vegas. That's kind of how they're making these WNBA games. And people are saying, "Oh, they should just fix the games, or the refs should let Caitlin Clark go off." Like, bro, this is not the WWE, bro. This mm-hmm. is basketball. But I've always thought. I ain't gonna say I've always thought because I haven't always cared. I'm a recent convert to the WNBA, right? But I've always thought since I've cared what the WNBA or or vice versa, the NBA should do. Instead of having them be an off-season lead to the NBA, put them alongside you. Let them walk with you. Like, have their season go on, not the same length, but they're during the same time. Not the same time span, but their season. Like this three-on-three thing is doing, they're starting in January after Christmas, when right. people's eyes are really on basketball anyway, for mm-hmm. the most part. You're kind of getting out of the way of the NFL. Your league should be together. You should – having it in the summertime isn't helping that product. They should be playing the same. And they do it because it allows the ladies to go play in other leagues and then come back and play, right? But with this is what they're doing. They're saying – then they're talking about equity. Right. Like the players are part owners.
You get ownership.
Right. Man, that is so freaking dope,
man. You won't have to go overseas.
You ain't
got to
go overseas.
Compliment your money.
You go play these 3-on-3 games. It's probably going to be super entertaining. I hope they don't make it silly like the big three, though. I don't want to see a Taco Bell shoot off.
A four-point shot or something.
I don't want to see none of that. Just go out there and hoop, man. And I think people will watch it. Because you think about it, it's six teams. It's probably going to be five ladies per team, three starters and two subs.
Okay.
You're probably talking about maybe the top 30 players
in the
league.
Yeah, the best ones. Yeah, including Sabrina
It's gonna
Kalen
be dope,
and
the NBA should have done, not particularly 3-on-3, but I've always thought the WNBA should be going on at the same time as the NBA does. Because you can have TV doubleheaders, you can have games that are doubleheaders where, you know, you come to the Fever game and you come to the Pacer game, you stay for the Fever game or vice versa. I think there's so many creative things they could do if they played alongside each other. But doing it in the offseason has always been a disgrace to that product to me. By making them off-season basketball. This ain't the XFL, bro. This ain't the showboats. You know what I mean? Like, if you treated them like a big deal, people would kind of handle it like a big deal. And, like, it's such an embarrassment that the Las Vegas Aces had people that were willing to pay $100,000 each for those ladies, and they stopped that type of stuff. Take it to this big three. What's it called?
I don't know the name of it.
I can't remember. Something. The name is dope. I can't remember what the name of it is.
But it's Brianna and some other... the founders.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great, man. I think it's gonna work. And even if it's not a big success, right? Whatever money they're making, I remember Nick Cannon talked about this, right? He said people talk about, I just want to be an owner. I want to own everything. But sometimes you make moves. It may not be as big as this other move, but it's really big for you. You know what I mean? So I think even if it's not huge, the fact that these, you know, however many ladies have their own equity in this. It could be life-changing money for them.
Unrivaled.
Unrivaled is what it's called, yeah.
That is
but
a good name.
I think it's super dope, man. I'm excited about it. And it starts, like, in January. Like, they're saying we're about to go now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is crazy, man. I'm excited
really
for
smart.
It for sure.
Like
I'm
I said, they're cashing in on their own hype. I like
for
the way
sure.
you put it.
Mm-hmm.
He is Anthony Sain. Make sure you are listening to him and locked into him on the Anthony Sain Show. Appreciate you joining us every Friday like you do. We got the rundown coming up after this break. Plenty of get to. Penny Hardaway out fishing. Looks like he's looking for a David Jones replacement. We will talk about that and more in the rundown. Got Joe Theismann, third hour. A lot more coming at you. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Every day around this time, I do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 929 FM, ESPN. First story.
We've discussed the Dallas Mavericks taking down the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals last night and advancing to the finals. And we've discussed a little bit, touched on it, how the Boston Celtics' dominant performance clearly over the Pacers, a shorthanded Pacers team, but the Boston Celtics, your Eastern Conference Championship final champion, are in these finals. They are favored. And we wondered, with the way Dallas played and advanced in these finals, might it be a little closer in terms of what Vegas thinks? And the answer to that is yes. Boston's still favored. They are a -225 favorite at ESPN Bet, and I checked. They're -220 at FanDuel. Mavericks are +185 again at ESPN Bet. They're +184 at FanDuel. So it's a little bit closer than certainly probably would have, you know, been if you had asked Vegas to handicap a Dallas-Boston series before Dallas went on this impressive run. Celtics, I think... right now, around 6 points, 6.5 point favorite for game one. We don't want to get too deep in the game one spread because, of course, we'll be doing that next week, both with John and with Brad on Fade Brad. But Celtics, yes, still clearly the betting favorite, but it's a little bit closer based on what we saw from Dallas looks like to me. Jason Tatum, right now, the betting favorite for Finals MVP, around -130. That's over at FanDuel. Doncic next at +200. And you got to figure, you know, out of the candidates that could get it, It's going to be those two, Jaylen Brown, who did win the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP, up next at plus 600. That's something. I mean, Kyrie, who has been phenomenal for Dallas, way, way further down the list at plus 2,400. And it's probably about right because, again, as good and great, and when he's one of the great ones as Kyrie is, they're going to go as Luka goes. You know, it's about whether or not Luka can get through these injuries that he's played through this postseason, and he showed you that he has. But if they're not getting, you know, this Luka Doncic, who, like we said, is leading the playoffs in points, rebounds, assists, first time ever we've seen that from a guy going into the finals. If he's not playing well, Dallas is not. Then this series is not close. I do wonder, sort of, you know, what Porzingis is going to bring to the table. Are we getting too deep in narrative when we're talking about? And I'm not just saying this because I just discussed it with Anthony Sain. I've seen it all over that Porzingis. Barkley said it last night that Porzingis is the difference for him. I'm not sure, first off, what level of Porzingis we're going to get. You know, are you going to get a guy that can go 75, 80%? Now, they obviously at one point thought he would be back and they would need him against the Pacers. They did not. And so that extra rest, Brad, you figure probably a good thing in terms of getting a high-level Porzingis back. Is he going to be the difference in this series, or is it going to come down to the fact that, you know, it's kind of like Sain said, Boston just doesn't have Batman and Robin. They really have four books. They have four spades in the sense that what Derek White and Drew Holiday contribute just as impactful. And as evidence of that, and I thought he went a little too far, but back to the point, and again, you talk about these players and who they respect. Saw Josh Hart, I think it was on the Pivot podcast, say that Derek White is the most impactful player on the team. Now that's going a little far just because of the guys that you've got up at the top with Tatum and with Jaylen Brown. But his point was that dude is doing everything right now. And in the clutch against Indiana even, the ball at some point, whether it was him hitting that shot off the pass from Jaylen Brown, the three-pointer he hit, that ball was hitting Derek White in the clutch, and he was usually making the right decisions. But to that point, it was just clearly I wouldn't have him the most impactful player of the Celtics. But that respect level shows you just how highly a level Derek White, and I'd throw Drew Holiday, a champion, by the way, having won one with the Bucks, I'd throw them in there as well. I know what I'm getting from two Dallas guys. Right? Mm-hmm. I think I know what I'm getting from four Celtics. Know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
It does.
And again, with question marks around Porzingis because of the health. I mean, I guess you could throw, and you have to tip your hat to the way Al Horford has played, but you want Porzingis back for a reason. So you're not putting so much pressure on soon-to-be 38-year-old Al Horford to go out there and be some stud against what's going to be two athletic and fast-moving bigs and Gafford and Derek Lively is going to have to deal with. And so you need Porzingis to take some of the pressure off of Horford because you're obviously thinner at that position without him. All that said, yes, I agree. Celtics should be favored. It's closer because of the way Dallas has played. In the end, Boston's got no excuse. They should be winning this thing.
Okay, so on the betting thing that you started with, it looks like there's going to be a lot of money coming in on Dallas because the lines will dictate such. In other words, that they'll cover the numbers, whatever those are. And so I think that's where I'm leaning. Haven't made my picks yet, but I also think it's going to go 6 or 7. The other thing that I would point out to Charles Barkley is like you said, we don't know what Porzingis is going to bring.
Don't know.
The thing I do like about Dallas is that I think their best two are better than the Celtics' best two. And then when you look at the role players, I like the bigs for Dallas better than I like Horford or any of these dudes that they're rolling in there, including Porzingis for Boston. So I'm leaning in that way.
It sounds like you like you like Dallas at all spots.
I think Dallas has changed the way we look at NBA basketball because they did it to two young teams, the Thunder and to the Timberwolves, and they went in there and they said, this is me just kind of, you know, narrowing it down a little bit, Jason. Like, you know, when you talk about teams, usually these coaches, they will tell you, at least in high school, you're not shooting, you two are shooting, and you guys go rebound. And that's what Dallas reminds me of. They don't worry about who's on the court. They have these two dudes, and then they have two athletes and a center, and they've got two centers, not just one, but they've got a bunch of these guys they can just roll in there that are long and young and tall.
I hear that.
And so, like, I have redone my brain a little bit, and that's why I think the Grizzlies are kind of right there a little bit with Oklahoma City and the Timberwolves, because, like you said, before the series, I was like, man, we are screwed. But now I'm like, you know, maybe Dallas is just really good, and they've figured some stuff out.
Well, so you admire sort of just the do-your-job nature of Dallas.
That I really like that.
Everybody's got their roles carved out. They know what they're supposed to do. Nobody's overextending or trying to be something that they're not. I guess what I would throw back at you is that when you look at Boston, is it not a deal where everybody on the floor can do everything?
That's a good point.
You know, whether it's Drew Holiday putting his nose in there, getting you 8-9 rebounds, or, you know, Derek White, 5 steals to go with the 3-point shooting. I mean, Tatum and Jaylen Brown are both active guys that do a little bit.
Yes.
To them, I look over and I say, well, that's not necessarily guys carved out in roles like with Dallas, as you point out, and I think that's a good description of Dallas.
Yeah.
But guys that can do everything at every position, it feels like, with them.
If I'm Jason Kidd and I'm looking at Boston, what you're going to get from only right-handed, one player one. You know what you're going to get from Tatum. I would probably make Derek White try to make him look pedestrian. I would try to say, Derek White is not going to look like a friggin' all-star on my team. And I would just absolutely, especially on offense, we're taking you out of the game. So if it's Derek Jones or whoever's going to, like, we're going to take you out. And then Drew Holiday is obviously going to be on one of these other two dudes, which means Kyrie and Luka are going to alternate, in my opinion. I just really like the opportunity for Dallas, especially if they were to get this to 7. I don't want to say that Dallas is going to win it. I don't think they're going to win it. I don't think Dallas is going to just win it outright.
I'm just kind of thinking that you were there, that you had convinced yourself they're going to win this series.
But I think I'm going to pick spreads for Dallas, and I think that we're probably looking at 6 or 7. That's the change. You know what I'm saying? Like, because all these bettors are betting on the margins, and that's why money's going to come in on Dallas, I think, because all these bettors are going to go, well, if the line's 5 instead of 7 or 8, I'll probably roll with Dallas in a lot of these games.
Yeah, but you should see that line movement potentially as we get closer to the
I bet it opens at like a -4, 4.5, right?
Oh, it's for Boston. I think it's -6.5.
That seems high for Boston. I would put it in 4 or 5, but I mean that's what these guys do for a living. That's why I'm a loser most of the time if you fade me.
Yeah, pretty sure it's already out there.
It's 6.5.
It's 6.5, and so in 6.
Oh, here it is. Gamecast is out. My very high end research page here.
We revealed that yesterday. Yeah, it's already out. It's like 6.5, right?
Yeah, and the analytics thing has the predictors at 63% Boston. So I mean, they still like Boston a lot. But yeah. I just
think ESPN. Man. Six and a half. That's where it's at right now. It's probably going to move some more. We'll have John back next week.
He'll know,
telling us all about the line movement. But I'm looking more forward to this series now, based on the what we've seen from Dallas, how good they looked, and frankly how they've seemed to have answers for everything.
I think they need Kleber though. He needs to be healthy, especially if Porzingis is healthy.
They can use all the bodies possible. It was good seeing Derek Lively back out there last night. He made a difference for
them. Yeah, he was good.
I think he's a guy who just, again, I've had to sort of change my thinking a little bit, or at least adjust it. Maybe there is a rookie big who can. Maybe it's moving up, like Sane says, to get clinging. Maybe it's moving back another one. But maybe there is a rookie big who is ready to contribute for a contender.
I like that.
And the way that Lively is contributing. And what was he, the 12th pick, 11th pick? I can't remember off the top of my head. But he was in last year's draft. And look at how important he's been for a team that's a contender now. So, like we said, Boston Celtics favorite. We're going to have a lot of times to talk. 12th pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to have a lot of time to talk about it and discuss it as we get closer to game one, which will be on Thursday.
Next story.
All right, so the story, which is a little self-serving, but it's for good reason. And it's because of our very own 92.9 host, Mark Giannotto, also known famously as the Commercial Appeal beat writer, and then columnist for the Commercial Appeal most recently. And he has penned his last column as of this morning, published at 5:07 a.m. here in Memphis for the Commercial Appeal and on commercialappeal.com, headlined, "Goodbye, Memphis. May it lead to the championships you deserve." And as you sort of pointed out when you were talking about Mark, and we teed this up earlier, it appears that there's a trend that happens when Mark leaves a market like he did when he left Washington, D.C.
Tell me more.
That the teams win championships. championships, Jason. Do you think we are destined for a championship now that Mark, and I want to also give him his flowers here, and we'll get to that in a second, but I'll start with...
Yeah, you're thinking about us first.
I know, I don't want to be... I'm kind of being selfish here. Let me start with Mark. That's a good point. Before we get to will we win a championship. So Mark has only been in Memphis for 5 years, for 5 years with us, 6 years total.
Okay.
I guess. And that first year, he was just a guest with us, much like you were for years before you became a host on 92.9. Mm-hmm. And I'll just talk personally from my experience. Jeff did this morning. Jeffrey talked a little bit about it. And they'll have their final show with Mark today at 2 o'clock. But the thing that stuck out to me when Mark came on the air was Mark is different from everybody in the market, in my opinion. Mark doesn't couch much, if anything. Mark does not do many caveats at either when he shoots the arrow and gives you his opinion. And I think that that is how Mark got his job with 92.9, because many people, including me, have a tendency to back the couch up to fall on before you give your opinion. And so I want to compliment Mark on that skill. And I think he brought something different to the market. But I also think Mark, and also kudos to Jeffrey, because there were many times because of Mark's writing and reporting work that Jeffrey was holding the bag.
The load gets heavier on him.
And Jeffrey, to his credit, never, ever, 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 ever said one thing about that.
No, his ability to do that is a talent.
And it's a talent how he handles himself, yeah, and he does the work. Mm-hmm. And work is important to me personally, because it's being a program director, you need some horses. And I think people just, and I'm going to get the calls, and Jeffrey's going to get the calls, because there's a change here about how I'm going to be the next host, or so and so wants that job. And the truth is, we need more workers. We need more Mark Giannatos. And so for that, I'm going to miss Mark, and I'm going to miss not only his work, but the work was high-end quality. You saw it most recently with the commercial appeal stories that he did reporting as a beat writer. He took over the Preps beat and did the Collierville stories, and he did it with a lot of backlash from a lot of suburbanites, and that is the unfortunate side of what Mark does. You take a lot of bullets. So he took those bullets in stride, and he put out the work and the reporting and the columns. And so I'm going to miss Mark. He's been great. But I also appreciate everything that Jeffrey has brought to that show and will continue to bring to the show. And you'll hear their last show together, at least. And maybe not the last of Mark. We'll get him back on the phone here and do some stuff, since he's going to be doing some stuff in Chicago for Gannett, it sounds like. I don't want to put too much out there, and I don't want to spill Mark's beans. He can tell you about it today, too. But I know Mark is probably either listening in his car or maybe getting ready for a show. I really appreciate Mark, and I think he'll be missed. And it was a great 5 years for him, and not here, and good 6 years overall.
Couldn't agree more. Folks will want to know that are just listening for the first time, and I know that it's been discussed. So I don't think I'm being putting you on the spot here and asking you in terms of going forward.
Yeah, you can ask me anything.
It'll be Jeffrey.
So it's gonna be Jeffrey and Company starting on Monday.
Okay.
And what we're gonna do is we're gonna do this a little differently than I've been at this station now 15 years. I was the first person here. You know, I was the first person on the board. Mm-hmm. Even since we started it, I've done everything, including the image. I'm the imaging director for the radio station. I'm the log director for the station. Most programmers.
All of your titles, and then
there's a lot underneath of that.
When I introduce you, I need to say
no,
all of them.
It's not. But I don't care about it really, because I'm just happy to have a job here, and I'm glad that the station's been successful. Because if it wasn't successful, I wouldn't be here. And so I appreciate my opportunities, and Mark's part of holding me up and doing all the stuff. But Jeffrey and Company. It's going to be Jeffrey Wright and Company. And what we're going to do, most of the time what happens, you know this because it happened with you. A show leaves, go get a show. The afternoon show, Gary leaves, go get a show host. And so what we and I think needed to do was do this a little differently and maybe slow play it a little bit and say, what are our opportunities? Jeffrey's right at the center of that too. And so how do we use Jeffrey's leadership skills? Because it's also one of those things where I'm putting a little bit more on Jeffrey's plate to when he's hosting and he's producing Jeff's show, as Jeff pointed out this morning. But maybe put a little onus on Jeffrey, like, hey, who do you like in there? Let's put some different voices on there. Let's try some different things. How about we have a rotating guest that does a couple of days, does a week. Do that for a few weeks and see how she rolls. But I know Jeffrey running the ship there will be great, and looking forward to Monday. But sad about losing Mark, and you know, everything he's done here has been awesome.
Yep, it's a loss for Memphis media. I've kind of, you know, it was funny that 2-3 weeks ago I was talking about Mark, and it was in relation to those stories he was doing on the Kyrieville girls basketball team, and yep. Then you mentioned the track meet. He was doing that because he shows you what the worker that he is as editor of the paper, columnist. The preps writer's out. They've lost a preps writer. He's having to be the preps writer.
Yeah, and he was so editing, was too. I didn't even mention him being the editor.
The freaking page editor.
Gee, yeah, he's doing everything.
And so it shows you the worker that he is, the guy that had moved up the chain the way he had, still willing to go in there and do what needed to be done for the sports department. So, like I said, that's a loss for Memphis media, period. And like you've said, a guy that, you know, not prioritizing relationships over telling you what he thinks. And say, and by saying that, I mean a lot of times, as Brad said, you'll couch it, you'll say something, so in the hopes of preserving a relationship.
Yep.
So you can keep the information flow going, right? A lot of times that's, as a reporter, sometimes you've got to do that. As a columnist, you got to be real careful about that, because if that person you've got a relationship with is so a good one is no longer good at their job, is no longer passing the test in whatever gig that they've got, a gig that you cover, you got to be able to say that despite the relationship. And so, again, as a columnist, that's first and foremost. And Mark, in making that transition to reporter to columnist, it was seamless because he always spoke his mind. Like you said, he never couched it. So, I'll tell you, it's absolutely going to be a loss for Memphis media. I would tell you even deeper, and I touched on this a little bit with Jeff off air, it's a tough day for the CA.
Yes.
I mean, today over there at the Daily Memphian, they got to be celebrating, because again, Mark is that much of a loss for the CA. Still got some great people over there. I'm, you know, former CA guy. Believe me, I know a lot of great people over there doing great work, including the great Jason Munns covering that Tigers basketball beat. But losing Mark was a lot. I just told you, he's the page editor, your columnist, and again, when you were shorthanded, he's dipping into things that he, frankly, wasn't supposed to be covering, but felt like he had to because, again, he's part of a shorthanded sports department. Mm-hmm. You lose a backbone guy like that out of your department, that's a loss. And so even you can get another good. We know about this with Penny Hardaway and replacing players. You can get another good guy on paper. Is he going to be willing to be, you know, a glue guy when he has to be? Yeah, there's one thing. Mark's a great writer too. We don't discuss that. But you've got talent like Mark, but then also a willingness to be the glue guy. Those guys don't come around to be a backbone guy, an institution guy. Those guys don't come around often, Brad.
You know, I agree with
that
you.
Have all of those qualities. And so CA's got some work to do in terms of trying to replace old Giannotto as he heads to Chicago.
I'd like to comment on that. And you're not going to expect this from me. People need to subscribe to the commercial appeal. People need to support the people that work there and that brand. And I say that as somebody who's given an opportunity to work at 92.9, not because of me or because of you, but because there's an enterprise willing to have something. And the commercial appeal is going to get a few bullets with Mark leaving today. And I get where you're saying, you know, because they're losing a star. You're losing a star, you know. This is a guy who came in to do the Tigers beat. But I will say this. If Jason Munns, for example, and anybody that works over there, if we want them to somehow keep that, and I think they would say the same thing, I will continue to support the commercial appeal as much as I support anything else in this market, because it's even though it's a corporation, in a sense, there's people working there. So for their sake, you know, I hope people will continue to support the commercial appeal. I think it's going to be harder, though, and I think you're right. So
I think I'm looking at my $19.99 a month compared to $13.99 Daily Memphian.
I hear you.
Always going to keep it real. Okay, I mean, again,
I'm not
and
saying
that's just
you should,
for digital.
But say
no, I'm not.
Know,
no, I'm not talking
I'm
about
not
cutting
saying
it
you
off.
Should.
And like I said, I support what you said. And said that you support the
it's
people.
It's gonna be hard.
Frankly, you need the CA still around, because having competitors, having the CA and the Daily Memphian, you heard it. Jeff didn't like competing with Giannotto as a competing columnist, at least to start. Because why? Because it's competition. And then you get good competition.
Right.
What that is yeah, it's tough for the folks that are in it. They got to do a better job. They got to be on top of things. Mm-hmm. It's better journalism for Memphis. So when you have those two entities that themselves are competing, what you get is a better news product, period. Better coverage, period, of sports, of news, and everything else, because they're competing. And so that's why you want the CA to stick around, Brad. Yes. And, of course, for those workers, for everything else. Mm-hmm. But you want it because we're getting a better quality of
overall
work.
Overall product in the market.
Because of the two things competing. For a long time, CA was the only paper in town. Mm-hmm. And so they could slide on some standards or whatever else, maybe in some prefabrication on some specific beats or whatever else. Because why? There was no competitor in town to really push them out, right, to do a better job on those things. Now they can't do that. And so, like I said, they've got to we need the CA, no question.
Mark was the only one they didn't poach. That's just fact.
Well, they tried.
I mean, I thought that was illuminating what Jeff said on the air today. He's like, yeah, we tried to hire him too. Oh, they went to the well with the commercial appeal, and they kind of gutted him a little bit.
Yeah, took a lot of them from over there.
Like their most recent hire, they hired their food editor.
If you're coming into a new place and starting basically from ground zero,
how do you become
a competitor faster?
Yeah,
you do that by hiring the best from over at the other place
you
by poaching, as you put it.
Yeah,
so they were very smart in the way they've approached it.
Yeah.
Didn't get everybody, as you pointed out. Didn't get Giannotto, frankly. That was a good move for the CA, keeping him and moving him up to sports editor. Now they've got, you know, work to do in terms of replacing him. But we all wish the best, certainly, for Mark Giannotto. And make sure you're listening to that final Giannotto and Jeffrey show from 2 to 4.
Final thing on this before we get to the championships we're about to win with Mark's exit from the market.
Yeah.
I also admire Mark's decision to leave because I feel like he's doing it without guarantees of some golden parachute. He's doing it for his family. And that is, to me, impressive. It's sort of like seizing the day, you know, and because I know his whole family is very successful. But I think Mark is giving up a pretty big give up in terms of career because he's established himself. I mean, in a short order here in the last 5 or 6 years, Mark is a nationally relevant sort of columnist and writer, it appears. And so he's giving up a lot to go be near family. So I admire Mark for that. I wish him the best. I'm sad we're losing him. And congratulations to Mark and his family. And look forward to hearing the show today.
Well, also
selfless in the sense of Mark.
Go.
Point out that when he left Washington, a bunch of teams won championships.
Yeah, go there.
Including the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup after Mark left to come to Memphis. He points out the Virginia men's basketball team won the national title in 2019. And then literally 6 months later, the Nationals were winning the World Series after he left. And so sports success followed once Mark Giannotto was gone. And selfishly, we hope that with him leaving, going on to Chicago.
Yeah, this is the good luck charm.
That in his wake is some success for whichever is your favorite. Those Grizzlies, those Memphis Tiger basketball teams, all of it. Hopefully the championships follow Mark's exit like they did in Washington.
Next story.
Very excited about this, and I'm actually having to try to temper my excitement.
Okay.
The Bears are going to be on Hard Knocks.
Oh, Jason, don't do this. Don't do this to yourself.
What do you mean don't do it to myself?
Well,
the league wants to see us. The fans want to see us. What are you talking about? Don't do it to myself.
I think it's because of this.
This is a news story.
It's more things they don't need.
This is not me being fanboy here or anything. This is real news. Mm-hmm. We are the Hard Knocks pick. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we are one of the big attractions in the NFL this season. Just embrace it. Stop hating on it. Bears fans, stop being scared of it.
You don't think they should be scared of this?
No, I don't. We have protected our hearts and for good reason for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for this organization to give us something we can truly invest our hope and faith in. And I think we've done it with making the move to get Caleb Williams and everything else. And for the first time in this storied franchise's history, one of the NFL's charter franchises, top media market, the Chicago Bears are going to be the subject of Hard Knocks coming in August. Count me in. I'll be locked in for every episode. The Chicago Bears have long been against, as a franchise, being on this damn show. We've said no to the NFL over and over and asked them to keep us off of the list of potentials and possibles every year. We do not know, according to The Athletic, whether the NFL forced us to do this. Because our head man, McCaskey, our coach, they clearly aren't happy about it. They haven't changed their tune. Said, now we welcome in the cameras. No, they haven't. Sounds like the NFL might have made them do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were one of the few teams left that you'd put it off, hadn't been able to. I don't need to go down the cast of characters that will be featured so prominently on this show.
Just go ahead. Update us a little bit.
But Caleb Williams,
yes.
My gosh, DJ Moore, who caught for 1,300 yards with Justin Fields.
Yes.
What's he going to do with Caleb Williams? You imagine that number's going up. Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze. How did the Bears do it? They got two of the best players out of the draft in the same year on the same team. That offense is going to be one of the most explosive in the NFL. And, Brad, you are going to get an early inside look at how it is all put together. I'm so thankful that we finally folded underneath the pressure of the NFL and that my team from Bourbon A, Olivet Nazarene University,
south of Chicago,
will be on Hard Knocks.
All right, so the odds of them to make the playoffs after we see them star, and by the way, this is beginning August. We are T-minus 2 months
August
away
6th.
From this. This is close.
Yeah, training camp's July.
9 weeks. We are almost there. And we're going to need to do some previews. -105 odds to make the playoffs for the Chicago Bears. Now, they have worse odds than the Atlanta Falcons to make the damn Super Bowl, Jason, so that ain't happening. But I do think Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, and I'll mention Caleb Williams, too, and his fingernails.
Better.
Will probably be in the playoffs this year.
I guarantee you, feature on Caleb Williams' nails, why he does it. He'll be the HBO will put up the cameras next to him and everything else.
Yes.
He'll explain that. My coach doesn't have a great, you know, in terms of Eberflus.
Yeah, what's he
there's
like?
Just not a lot there. It's not like Andy Reid fun. You know, you sit there eating, getting fat, and he's laughing at himself. Like, there's some fun with Andy Reid. Because he can make fun of himself. I don't get the sense that Eberflus is like that. So there's just not really a lot of intrigue, not a lot of compelling stuff with the coach. With the head coach, but with the players themselves, I mean, my gosh, it should be fantastic.
Have you went back and watched the midseason Miami Dolphins one we talked about?
No, and then the other clarification on the Giants one that we talked about, that is more of that's an off-season Hard Knocks that's coming up.
Oh, I
remember when we discussed that?
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
I was confused. I think when I first saw it, I thought, okay, the Giants are the team on Hard Knocks this year that we'll see in the preseason.
That's
not
the case. Summer thing.
That will be the Bears. The Giants thing is an off-season. And Hard Knocks, apparently, where they're going to do a lot of focus on the front office and all that. Obviously, it's running sooner. I'm not exactly sure the run dates on that, but a little bit of a clarification because I think when we initially talked about that news and I heard it cleared up later, that's an off-season Hard Knocks for them. Bears, y'all get used to it. Stop hating. Remember, they won 7 games last year. And so to make a jump to the playoffs like the Houston Texans did last year is not quite as far-fetched because you're coming off of a season where you won 7 games. Get yourself
three more wins with this new offer. I'm happy for you. I know I'm giving you the business a little bit because you're very excited. But I, you know.
It's my time. It's my time to shine. What have we made the playoffs? One time in the last 11 years? I've been in absolute hibernation. You were there for it when we were in those playoffs. And the way we lost was absolute torture in terms of the double doink. So I've been irrelevant for about a little over a decade now. I'm giddy like a schoolboy. I'm ready for Bears football. And on August 6th, I'll be watching them on Hard Knocks.
You're going to get upset at me again because I know that you make fun of me for having a twisted NFL fandom sort of thing.
Well, you don't have a team. You jump around.
So if you have anybody listens to the morning show, Michelle Smallman is from St. Louis, who is on the morning show. She's a perfect person to have on the morning show to explain why this is a problem as somebody who grew up near St. Louis, because St. Louis had the St. Louis football Cardinals, and they were ripped from our hands in the mid-'80s. And then about 7-8 years later, in come the Los Angeles Rams. So you have two teams that you're fans of, and I was fans of both of them, and they both left. Now, in the middle of that, as somebody who grew up in Illinois, believe it or not, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Chicago Bears.
I don't believe it.
When I was a kid, the Chicago Bears players, this is during the Super Bowl shuffle era.
85.
These guys would tour the state of Illinois. I've told you the story before. I've got an Otis Anderson signed basketball poster. It's a picture of him with the basketball jerseys on. And the players, because they didn't quite get paid what they get paid now, they would, for charity, first of all, it was for marketing. Second of all, they'd go to like Mount Olive High School's gym. I'm not making this up. And it's like Otis Anderson and players from the Chicago Bears touring through Illinois in a bus, and they would play like a pickup basketball game for charity in several little-ass towns throughout the state of Illinois. So I saw that, and I saw Otis Anderson, and I remember that, and I love the Chicago Bears. I also liked the Super Bowl shuffle.
Otis Anderson is the man who saved me from getting jumped by ninth graders at White Station. Otis Wilson.
Otis Wilson. I beg
your pardon. Otis Wilson is the bear that was on
I meant Otis Wilson. That's
No, I do the same thing, but I wanted you to know that those are two different people. We are both Otis huge Anderson. Fans of Otis Anderson.
Otis Anderson as well
Wilson
is awesome.
Otis Wilson is who you had on the poster.
Thank you.
Yes. Dr. Otis Anderson.
Was Otis Wilson, was he an offensive lineman?
No, he's like a linebacker, wasn't he? He's on defense.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this is like
for my Bears.
I think he was
Wilbur Marshall, Mike Singletary,
Otis Wilson, yes, who's Otis now 66 Wilson. Years old.
Yeah, but I'm sure so Otis Anderson.
Hey, shout out to Otis Anderson from Memphis. There
appreciates
is an Otis
all the love today, Dr. Otis.
I did like the Super Bowl Shuffle era. I liked the Jim Harbaugh era, even though it wasn't very successful in Chicago.
That was just Dick screaming at him. He was a better Colt than he was a Bear.
Yeah, he was a way better when he got traded. Would he get traded or they free agent?
I can't remember if free agent or if we moved off
and the Ditka stuff, but let's be honest. Outside of 1985, Ditka was okay, right? But not.
Well, he kind of got senile, trading everything for Rick Williams with the Saints and everything else.
So I have a soft spot in my heart is where I was going with that, and so I'm not totally against your Bears, and I know I promote the Cowboys a lot of that's the station. I'm not as much a Titans fan anymore because they left, so
I'm rebuild.
I'm fine with that.
Hard Knocks, August 6th.
Thank you,
Chicago Bears.
Next story.
All right, so I'm going to talk about college football schedules because yesterday we talked about the interview with Mike Norvell. Florida State will play Memphis on September 14th. The good news about that game, after we play an ESPN Plus game to start out the season, we're going to be on the Plus against North Alabama. 14th game is at 11 o'clock on ESPN, Jason, so that's prime time. Here's the big change that I wanted to bring up on the show here when we're talking about college football scheduling. Egg Bowl is switching to Friday. They're not having it on Thanksgiving. It's also going to be on ABC because here's what's happening. A lot of these games are going to ABC. Mm-hmm. They're switching off the SEC package. Friday at 2:30 is when the Egg Bowl will happen, the day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday. Now, the Red River Classic between Texas and Oklahoma, that's going to be on October the 12th. It's a 2:30 afternoon game on ABC. All of the SEC signature games, so all those premier games you used to see on CBS, they're now going to be on ABC because they're part of that ESPN package, and they're going to be at 2:30 on Saturdays. Now, I have, as part of this conversation, I have made a switch, and I don't know if it's going to help my sports viewing, but I'm going to YouTube TV. And so
I'm curious about this switch.
It's a trial. The bill started, I have internet, and here's how much the internet costs, and it's fast. It's the fastest available network, and my wife uses it every day. She works from home. It's $100, and that's how much that costs. A little tax, $105, $110, but it's the best. I'm really happy with my internet, but that cable bill was total $325 with tax every single friggin' month. It started about $250, creeped up to $275, went to $280. You buy a package, it goes to $310. You get rid of a package you call, you threaten to leave, it may go down to $300 for a month, and then it goes back up to $310, and then the tax is $325. And I had it, especially the last straw. Now, I don't know if YouTube TV is going to have Bally's. We talked about that off the air.
That's why I got off of YouTube TV. So
well, I may have to switch. I don't know. But it's month to month. That's the first thing. I can get out of the contract. Second of all, it's a trial. All I know is for the next 2 months, I'm paying $50 a month, basically.
You went for the low price.
And I just want to start with price. I don't even, frankly, and I know I'm a sports guy, I don't care as much about the sports. I just don't watch a lot of TV. So I rethought my life when the Cardinals and the Bally's thing went away from Comcast. It wasn't even as much of that. It was just looking at that friggin' bill and seeing $210 versus $60, $70 for YouTube TV. Now, you said, I'm looking at DirecTV, their streaming package.
DTV Stream.
Looking at that. And I'm looking at some of these other ones. The main thing is I'll be able to see ABC, CBS, NBC, and then unlimited DVR and some of these things. But I'm now one of the millions of people who have cut the cord, and I think I was one of the last holdouts here at the office, it seems like.
So I think...
Help me out here. Just give me some broad strokes of where you think I should go, because I'm basically a free agent.
It's a guess. I think eventually you will be willing to pay a little bit more, because it's not just your Cardinals on Bally's. You're going to want to watch Grizz during the season, and it is the reason I moved from YouTube TV to DirecTV Stream, is to get the Bally's. Mm-hmm. And so it won't just be a Cardinals decision for you at some point during the season. You could possibly be locked out too. Now, I don't believe, I could be wrong, that YouTube TV has changed where they now have Bally's. That's where I stopped short a little bit.
I haven't even investigated yet, because I'm a free agent.
It is literally why I left to go to DirecTV Stream. I am paying more now.
Yeah.
But I've told you about how good that app is. I don't have to fool with the Bally's app or do that separately in terms of subscription. I can get good DirecTV stream on my phone anywhere I'm at in town because that stream is so good.
Yeah.
And so I'm fine with paying the more money for it.
What again, is it? What's the bill, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm up to $119 a month now.
But you've got a bunch of packages
and
stuff.
No, I don't even have Max and HBO, actually.
Oh, okay.
And it started lower than that, but they do just like what you said everybody else does and what AT&T, everybody, they go up on you.
It,
and so
it creeps
probably,
up, bro.
I probably came in between $80 and $100. I can't even remember at this point. Maybe $75, and I'm now up to $119. I'm still fine on a pretty basic package.
Yeah, you're still less than $210.
I'm still fine with that. But
why do these bills creep up like that? They creep. It is a phenomenon. Like, you'll buy a package. I don't care if it's
well,
YouTube,
what they paid for these in these rights deals to have these channels, they end up coming back and taking it out on you,
you
and
know,
raising their prices.
So when Bally's went away from Comcast, they sent me a note in the mail, because I guess they have to legally send it in the mail. Guess how much the Bally's portion of the subscription was that I saved per month when it went away?
How much?
$6.50. That's how much the Bally's portion of the bill was, $6 a month. So if you add it up, there's a lot of things for just one or two channels that are costing these network or the you know these Comcasts of the world a lot of money that you're obviously paying for, and they push down the thing. Here's the second question I have for you, because YouTube TV also has the NFL package in the fall, I saw. Do you get that, or what do you do?
I don't do NFL packages anymore because of Superbox.
Yeah.
And so it got me out of the Sunday ticket game.
Yep.
I don't have to.
And it's still expensive, though, isn't it? It's like several hundred dollars for that that package.
I mean,
if
yes.
If I were to buy that.
Yes, you'll be paying. We saw it from Joe Pompliano, who covers the business of sports. You and I discussed about 3 weeks ago. He had a great tweet about if you're going to watch every NFL game this season or have the ability
it's outrageous.
It's over 900. It's close
for
to $1,000.
Like Amazon and all.
Because now
this
you
stuff.
Have to have all the streaming things.
Gee,
and maybe, you know, Amazon and everything else. And these ones that I don't, to go with Sunday Ticket, that's if you wanted to be able to have the ability to watch every single game.
Yes.
You'd be up near $1,000 for it. And so they've absolutely stretched it out on you. And there's one point where we were screaming, man, this is too high, this $350, $390 on DirecTV. This is too – all they've done is the NFL stretched out, and you're paying more now to see all the games.
Well, bottom-lining this conversation.
A super box.
Bottom-lining it, I am now a free agent. I'm going to do a trial with YouTube. I may go to DirecTV.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I hope
the Bally's thing's been updated, but I don't think it has.
So the wife and the wife also is part of this too, you know. So I'm trying to be, you know, cognizant of that, and then the app, and then you can do family sharing the way that YouTube TV has it. But I do think that we're never going back, and unfortunately, we're never going to have a seamless experience where you can just flip channels anymore. You're going to have to go in and out, and it would be great if, I don't know if the government would have to do it. Somebody could step in and say, is there a way that somebody could pay X amount of dollars and have it all on one vendor, on one machine, without the back and forth flipping? But now that Netflix is in the game, I don't know if we're ever going back, because they're doing live stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL's been smart to parse, pick, you know, separate this all out, sell it all off.
Yep.
In terms of the money that it's making for them. But no, it makes you have to pay more on
exactly.
the other end to watch them all.
So if anybody has any suggestions, you can tweet at me on X at Brad Carson.
Next story.
All right, you talked about don't know if you're ever going back. That's sort of what I think about when it comes to the Memphis Showboats. Don't know if I'm ever going to be back to see another Showboats game. Their season will come to a merciful end.
Oh, no.
This weekend we have to do the nuts and bolts. I mean, this is football season that's happening in Memphis, although I know that many of you all have checked out, are not paying attention to it, and that's even if you were paying attention to it in the first place. They are last in the 8-team power rankings of the league, sitting at 1-8, and they play the team that's ranked just ahead of them in 7th this weekend, the Houston Roughnecks, who, again, aren't much better at 1-8. And this is the final regular season game, frankly, actually, and you may not have paid much attention. The conference championships are already set. Birmingham, Michigan, San Antonio versus St. Louis. That'll come in a couple of weeks. But this will be the end of the regular season. And with it, I think, has to come the question. You just wonder, you know, when's this ever going to take off? If it is it going to be supported in a way that makes it a viable thing in Memphis, Tennessee?
Yeah.
That's just the question going forward. You were one of, if not the lowest attended franchise of the season. And I don't imagine that's going to be changing come this Sunday when you play this final game at Simmons Bank. It's not like you're going to get 12,000 in there to watch two of the worst teams, the two worst teams in the league. So they're at, you know, it's not just about this season and John DeFilippo and the new coach there, and, you know, going, you know, what could end up being 1-9. It's really the future of the franchise here
said that they're definitely coming back. That's what they've put out there into the
for
ether.
Next year.
Yes, next year.
And again, maybe it takes off next year.
Maybe.
To a point, but you're still going to be left with the same question.
Right, I
folks,
get it.
If you don't, you've provided two, I mean, it just is what it is, two bad years of football.
Right.
So how do you now get the Memphis
get
area,
the excitement
the community
going
back in it?
Right.
Right. So the only way to do that is have a monster season. It would have to happen next year, you would think, or else this thing's going to be destined for failure. And so, again, and with all due respect to those players that are, you know, this hadn't, I'm sure, been fun for them. They're based out of Arlington. They're flying for road games. They're flying for home games to play at Memphis and going back to Arlington. It's not a fun existence or life for them. And they put in, you know, they're chasing their dreams. They put in the work to do this, and you respect that about it. But it just has not gotten off the ground. And, yeah, Brad said that they're going to be back next year, but I just wonder, is there ever going to be a real future for spring football in Memphis? And we've talked about all the reasons. There's a litany of reasons not going back to the old, you know, the nostalgia of the old
uniforms.
Oh,
they didn't use any of the old logos or any of
that. That didn't help you,
stuff.
So you're essentially
they blew
forming
that up.
Something completely new.
I agree with that.
And you're trying to do it and make it a success without having – the winning part of the formula. And so that's always going to be hard, no matter what town you're in.
Yep.
But again, Showboat's wrapping up the season this weekend at Simmons Bank. Yep, they'll play that final one against the Houston Roughnecks with it all coming to a merciful end.
Real quick, and I know you want to get to the next hour here, but is there any viability for any of these minor league halfway franchises with a town that has now the Tigers football prime, Tigers basketball prime, and a pro team? Is there any room for them? Because obviously, I don't think there's the elephant in the room is that the Redbirds are also not performing, and we've already lost the River Kings. We don't have hockey, and we're not talking about minor league hockey here.
Mm-hmm.
With everything that goes on with youth sports, you've got a kid now, and with the distractions and the families, is there any room for it? That is not me piling on, by the way. I want it to work. They're going to have a new stadium. So, like, can it work, I guess, is my question.
It can, not in Memphis. I think this is where we are a little bit different. Can make the point that, you know, losing football is not going to succeed in any city. But there are places where, like Birmingham, that's not a pro city, where I think, and now you have to give credit to the Stallions, they've delivered a good product, which has helped with it. But because they're kind of where we used to be, where they're not a pro town, they treat whether it's their college team, UAB, whether it's the Stallions team, they treat it like a pro team.
They're all in on it. Yeah.
That used to be us.
Yeah,
it used to be Memphis.
It did used to be us.
It's why we supported the Showboats the way we did. Now, that setup back then and that old league was a little bit different than the setup now, as opposed to with this league in the NFL, which you've got a league that's basically admitted, look, we're a farm system for the NFL. Back in the day, they were competing with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point was, if we here in Memphis can show, you know, in terms of our fandom of the Showboats, our attendance, 50,000-plus, that we can support this, then that's a sign to the NFL too.
Right.
Right? We need a team here. You were trying to prove something that you weren't just a semi-pro city, that you could have something that was professional. That was a mission for Memphis and this city back in the day. And one thing it led to one thing it led to was pro coverage of the Memphis Athletics Department, of the Memphis basketball team, all that. All that changed with the Grizzlies.
Yep.
Now, not the attention to the Memphis basketball team. I'd still tell you that's covered like a pro team, still got its fans that prefer it over the Grizzlies and everything else. But once you got the pro team, once you got an NBA team, you're no longer a semi-pro town trying to prove it to the professional leagues.
Right.
And so now you want to bring me semi-pro football and tell me to go to it, and I don't have a cause anymore? I'm not trying to prove something?
Right.
We know the NFL ain't coming back here. They're happy in Nashville. So what's the extra incentive? And then you're not giving me good football?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. The dynamic has changed in Memphis, where we have pro teams, we have legit outfits that now we're giving all our support to. We don't have to support on some mission to prove something, these semi-pro teams that come in here and, frankly, don't give us a good product.
Well, and it's...
And that's been the issue. Again, you give us good product, maybe this is going a little bit differently.
To that point, though, 901 FC is on a heater right now. And they, in terms of attendance, not good. I mean, I'm not trying to speak out of school.
They were hurt big by COVID, and again, that was something that seemed to be a nice little. It found a nice little niche, and
That niche is gone.
COVID hurt it. There's no question about it. And I don't know. I mean, you're sort of limited to, seems like you get to the playoffs, you make the playoffs.